The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. But I'll tell you, we've been blessed the last couple weeks, have we not, with some godly men who preach the Word of God to us. Pastor David and Pastor Jeff just did such a great job. And we're so thankful that they are with us, part of our team. Celebrate that. But I am glad to be back. And as the ushers have come forward, I want to remind you of a verse we're memorizing this month. We've been memorizing some prayers of the Apostle Paul. It's our hope that this will help you develop your own prayer life. And recently I was with one of our leaders, and he actually recited one of these prayers as he was praying. And I thought, yes, this was the goal, that our praying would become more fruitful, more scriptural. So in Ephesians, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now, they had the Spirit of God in them, right? That's not what he's saying. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation was in them. He believed they were Christians. He knew this church well. But the goal to know God better is always a worthy goal for our praying. You can pray that for anybody, right? That they might know God better. Now, knowing God isn't just knowing facts. It's not just building your Bible knowledge. It's actually experiencing life with God. He lives in you. He wants to work through you. Our dear sister Lois Deo met Jesus this past week. And when I was talking with Art, we'll have a service in November for her. I said, Art, you know, when Jesus met Lois, and Lois met Jesus, Jesus wasn't a stranger to her. The continuum of a relationship was now by sight. And that just blessed me as I was thinking of this verse, and that's who I want to be. Lois was always so respectful to me and always genuinely enthusiastic. I love that about people. You know, that are genuinely excited about not just me or the sermon, but this place, this body of believers. She was constantly telling me of stories of you that had blessed her. And that's knowing God better. So, let's pray. Dear Father, we bow before you with thanksgiving that you have given us, dear Lord, your Spirit, the Spirit to abide with us forever. Lord, we would pray that as Paul prays here, that we will know you better because we are relying on the Spirit of God to give us wisdom and revelation. Lord, thank you for these gifts. We give them that others might know you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we are beginning a little series on the postcards of the New Testament. Now, we're going to look at three postcards. These are all short letters that could easily fit on one little scroll or parchment. They're not long, but there's a lot to be said in them. Yesterday, some people gathered in my hometown of Pittman, New Jersey, and they celebrated the 50th reunion of the class of 1975. I graduated in 1975. I was only 4 years old, but so what's funny is I'm watching the video. I'm not there, obviously, and I don't recognize hardly anybody, right? They all look so old. But they've got lanyards around their neck with a picture of their graduation picture to try to help which I don't know if that would have helped me or not. But as I'm saying, I graduated in 75, so I grew up in the 70s, and you know, there was a certain gal, she wrote a song that many of us knew, many of us appreciated. She put it on her Tapestry album, Carole King. Then James Taylor came along and he recorded it, and he put it on his Mudslide Slim album, and he won a Grammy for that same song. When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand, and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud, and soon you'll hear me knocking at your door. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will. To see you again. Ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? When people can be so cold, they'll hurt you and desert you and take your soul if you let them. Oh yeah, don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. You've got a friend. Man, it's a great song. I think many songs have been written about friendship, but that Carole King song hits the target. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about friendship today from this little postcard in 3 John. The proverb says this, the righteous choose their friends carefully. As you go in this world, you need to be friendly with everyone. God calls us to do that, and we're going to have some friends that don't know Jesus yet, and we should. But what I'm specifically addressing today is this notion of Christian friendships, having friendships with other people who believe in Jesus like you do. And that's what we see illustrated in this incredible little letter. You know, he says, the elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. The elder is the Apostle John. I believe that this postcard was written in the last decade of the first century. In fact, I think all of John's writings, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, were all written during that last decade. It's a very personal note. Gaius means to rejoice. It comes from the Greek word to rejoice. And John certainly is rejoicing over his friend Gaius. That's pretty obvious as we read the postcard. Now, there are three Gaiuses mentioned in the New Testament. There is the Gaius of Corinth. He is mentioned in the letter to the Corinthians and the book of Romans. Church history says he became the bishop at Thessalonica. There is a Gaius of Macedonia. And he suffered with the Apostle Paul in Philippi. You remember that Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi. Evidently, this man Gaius also suffered with them. And then there is Gaius of Derbe, who traveled with the Apostle Paul according to Acts 20 and verse 4. Now, all these are illustrations of the name. It's a very common name. There were many Gaiuses in the first century, so we can't really be sure if we know exactly who this Gaius is. It might be one of these guys. A 4th century author said it is the last of the three that I mentioned, but that's 300 years after the fact. I don't know how reliable that is. Does it really matter? To me, it really doesn't. Whoever he is, his name is Gaius. It means rejoicing, and he is friends with the Apostle John. John uses the term friend 19 times in his writings. He uses it 6 times in this postcard. So it is a prominent, prominent word. It's rather interesting to me that the word friend in English comes from German roots, but both the Greek word and the Hebrew word speak of someone who loves us. Webster defines a friend as one attached to another by affection or esteem. And so we're looking at friendship. And very interestingly, I think if you don't know any other verse in this postcard, you probably know this one. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How many of us have put that up on the wall, especially for our teenage children to see, right? But it's just a blessing to know that your children are walking in truth, which means they're trustworthy, they're honest, but also gospel truth. They have embraced gospel truth, and they're walking in gospel truth. Walking is a word Paul uses many times, which is just a metaphor for life. And it's a good one because you take one step at a time, and hopefully you're taking steps forward. Walking in the truth. No greater joy, exuberant joy, over the fact that Gaius is walking in the truth. Now, one other comment. It could be because he says, my children, that Gaius had been led to faith in Jesus Christ by the Apostle John. I mean, that is possible. It happens sometimes. If you can identify one person who introduced you to Jesus, boy, you have a relationship with that person, don't you? That is such a sweet relationship. The person who introduced you to Jesus. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was somebody you didn't really know that well at the time. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a pastor. For me, it's Pastor Jack. I was 17 years old. I had a terrible dose of senioritis. And I went on a retreat I didn't want to go on, but I went. I think because my parents insisted. Pastor Jack was sitting there, and we're sitting down in a small group, and Pastor Jack says, I want to know where you're at with Jesus. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a member of the church, dude. Like, don't be giving me this. It sounded so personal. See, it wasn't just about head knowledge. Was about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That night, I prayed to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. My life changed. I was 17 years old. It was February of my senior year at Pittman High School. Years go by, and my aunt Laura dies, and Pastor Jack Hamilton was her pastor at the Collingswood United Methodist Church. So I walk into his office, and my aunt had requested that I be part of the service. And so we sat down to talk, and I said, Pastor Jack, I got to tell you something. And he said, what? I said, Pastor Jack, you were the one who led me to Christ, led me to faith in Jesus Christ. He said, I never knew it. You know, if somebody led you to Jesus, you need to tell them. You need to celebrate with them. You need to thank them again. Yeah, there's a unique relationship, and I think it's likely that that's the case in this postcard. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It is for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. We see five ingredients in a healthy friendship between John and Gaius, which we should seek today. I thought as I was preparing this message, man, things are crazy in this world. My people need some good word. Well, I thought, this seems so simple. Is this really going to be helpful? Yeah. Yeah. With all the chaos going on, if you can develop some really deepening, healthy Christian relationships, man, it's going to help you. Going to help me. We're better together. So it seems appropriate. Five ingredients. And the first one's pretty obvious. Love. I mean, love. And it's that unique love of God. John uses the term love 72 times in his letters. When he identifies himself in the Gospel of John, he never calls himself John. What does he call himself? Do you know? The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he identifies himself. It's that self-sacrificial love. Jesus said, I have no greater love. There's no greater love than you lay down your life for your friends. It's that sacrificial love, that willingness to love others. It's very personal. He addresses him as beloved. The NIV translation is not very good here, in my opinion. It consistently in this little postcard says, to my dear friend, but it really is the word beloved. He is acknowledging that Gaius is loved by God. Oh, yeah. But he also loves him. And Gaius loves John, and John loves Gaius. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful picture. Whom I love is very emphatic. Is it okay to tell your friends you love them? Don't you from time to time just need to hear that from a friend? Man, I don't know everything, but I love you, bro. I love you, sister. You know, that's so sweet. That's so very, very precious. It's genuine love. He says, I love in the truth. Nobody wants hypocritical love. We want genuine love. I mean, hypocritical love can be harmful. It can be wounding. It can be disastrous. And it's very intimate. The very end of the postcard says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. There's something precious about the intimacy of the love of a friend that you look in face to face. I don't care how much FaceTime I spend. It's not like being face to face, right? It's similar, but it's not quite the same. And when you have a friend like Gaius had with John and John had with Gaius, they just want to be together. They want to hang out together. It was a very intimate, personal, and genuine love that they shared. A friend loves at all times, the proverb said, and it's so true. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for time of adversity. Now, I've always been confused about this verse. I'm not quite sure how to interpret it. I don't know whether it's saying, you know, a friend loves at all times, but a brother, man, he born for adversity, you know. So maybe it's a contrast, or maybe it is a parallel that when you're really in trouble and adversity is attacking you, it's good to have a brother or a sister, right? I mean, I don't know. You can interpret it the way you want. But let's all agree. You want to have a healthy friendship of any kind, particularly with a brother or sister in Christ, love has to be an ingredient. Secondly, concern. Again, he says, beloved, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. What a beautiful statement of a wish for his friend Gaius. The King James actually translates it wish. He's always praying this way for his friend. Many times our prayer lists have many physical requests, and it's not inappropriate. It's all right to do that. And so he acknowledges that his body seems to be getting along quite well. He's experiencing good health. There's prosperity in his body. I don't experience much of that, but, you know, I just, you know. No, I do. God's been so good to me. Whatever level of health we have, we give praise to God for it. He's led us on a good road. Things have been turning out well. And even when health fails, there's still the soul. I'm a pastor. I do visit sometimes to ill people. And I always giggle because they try to tell me about the doctor's evaluation. And I'm not a doctor. I have no idea what they're talking about. But I just sit there and shake my head, you know. My target is the soul. My desire is for the soul of my friend. And you see, that's what he's saying about Gaius. He is concerned about the prosperity of his soul. That language is used 40 times in the Old Testament, that the soul would prosper, that the soul would be growing and be healthy. So simply put, God's just concerned about our bods and our souls. I mean, you can't differentiate. One's not more important than the other. They're both important. We said this recently. We're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. God is in concern about our body, but he's also very concerned about our soul. And so Christian friends particularly are people who will pray for your soul. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Such a great reminder. And how about this? I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Genuine concern. Paul says, you know, I got a lot of teammates, but man, this guy Timothy, he's just an amazing guy. He's unique because he really has genuine concern for you. If you have a friend like that, celebrate. Be a friend like that. Now, sometimes this gets a little hairy, doesn't it? If I have real concern for someone, I may have to bring up some subjects or address some issues that aren't always comfortable. The pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Listen, I have learned as I've gotten older, I don't like people telling me what to do. I suspect this happened when I was a very small child, and it's only still around. But if a friend comes to me, somebody I really love and trust, who I know has concern for me, I can take criticism from them. I can take advice from them. In fact, Proverbs says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted. But in contrast, an enemy multiplies kisses to take advantage, to flatter. Too often, we limit our praying only to physical needs. So let's make sure our prayer list is concerned about the spiritual welfare of others, their souls. So Gaius and John had a relationship like that. They shared love, they shared concern, they shared loyalty. How about this in verse 3? Pretty obvious as we look at it. It gave me great joy, exuberant joy. Man, I was over the top celebrating when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. It's a testimonial. It's what John heard about his friend Gaius. And this testimonial keeps on going. It's like a snowball going down the mountain. It just keeps growing. Oh, yeah, Gaius. Oh, yeah, I know Gaius, man. He helped his family. You should have seen the way he got involved in their lives and helped them out. Oh, yeah, I remember Gaius. He gave generously to the Lord's work. I know Gaius, man. He one time gave me such great advice. You see, testimonials about his loyalty. Your truth is the way it literally speaks. The NIV translates it faithfulness, but he was trustworthy, but his faithfulness came out of his devotion to Jesus Christ. Don't miss that. He was obedient to the truth of the gospel, not just as a moral code, but to the person of Jesus Christ. And because of that he was loyal to Jesus, he was also loyal to his friends. The testimony of the church at Thessalonica is stated in the first chapter of the letter, where he says, man, the message just rang out from you. I didn't have to talk to you about you to anybody. Everybody knew about the church at Thessalonica. And it seems like Gaius was like that too. There's just a lot of testimonials all around about how faithful and loyal he was. I like the way the proverb says it. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I think many of us say, oh, that's Jesus. Yeah, but it also can be a human friend that you have who will stick close to you like a brother. You just call out my name, and I'll be there. You've got a friend. I read some article that concerned me a bit. Complex games like chess have long been used to test AI models of capability. Back in the 90s, IBM Deep Blue defeated reigning world chess champion Garry Kasparov by playing by the rules. In contrast, today's advanced AI models are less scrupulous. When sensing defeat in a match against a skilled chess bot, they sometimes opt to cheat by hacking their opponent so that the bot automatically forfeits the game. But the study reveals a concerning trend. As these AI systems learn to problem solve, they sometimes discover questionable shortcuts and unintended workarounds that their creators never anticipated. One researcher said, as you train models for solving difficult challenges, you train them to be relentless. They have to win. And in order to win, they're willing to cheat. The implications extend beyond chess. In real-world applications, such determined goal pursuit could lead to harmful behaviors. As these systems exceed human abilities in key areas, they might begin to simply outmaneuver human efforts to control their actions. Of particular concern is the emerging evidence of AI self-preservation tendencies. AI learned this from sinners, right? This was demonstrated when researchers found that when one AI was faced with deactivation, it disabled oversight mechanisms and attempted unsuccessfully to copy itself to a new server. When confronted, the model played dumb, strategically lying to researchers to try to avoid being caught. I don't know about you, AI concerns me, right? And for this reason, right? Because the input is only by sinners who then are teaching AI to do things that are not loyal. Whatever others say about us is important. If you read it in Acts chapter 2, the early church had a good reputation in the community. They didn't agree with them, but because they were involved in the community in healthy ways, they were appreciated by the community. You just call and I'll be there. How about faithfulness? This is something we'll talk a little more about next week in more detail. But just in general, we see again, beloved, dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. Gaius wasn't just generous to people he knew, he was generous to people he didn't know. Could that be said about you and me? Are we generous to strangers? Do we practice hospitality? Because that's what hospitality means. It means to love strangers. And Gaius is faithful to strangers because, first of all, he's faithful to the Lord. You understand? His relationship with God is feeding his ability now to be faithful to others. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture. Do you remember the parable of the sheep and the goats? What's the difference between the sheep and the goats? Well, the sheep were hospitable to strangers. They went to the prison, they fed, they helped, they clothed, all these things. Faith walkers will always seem strange on the earth, but not in heaven. The ministry of faithfulness is motivated by love. They have told the church about your love. That's agape again. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. Keep it up, John. John's saying, come on, Gaius, just keep it up. And we're going to talk about this a little more next week. You know, if you give gifts, you're always going to have friends. Yep. Everyone who is the friend of those who give gifts. Do you like to give gifts? I mean, some of us are real gift givers, man. We just love to give gifts. It's kind of fun to select a gift, wrap a gift, give it to someone. You know, that's healthy. And this is what he's doing, you understand? He's giving out of his own pocket, his own resources, to help even strangers who, in this case, probably were fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, you want to build your network of friends? Start giving away gifts. Send me golf balls. It's okay. I like golf balls. It's all right. Finally, growth. We talked about love, we talked about concern, we talked about loyalty and faithfulness. How about growth? Verse 8 just says, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we, together, John, Gaius, may work together for the truth. He's willing to speak into his life, and he tells them, you ought to do this. Now again, it's a blessing when we are told by a friend something we ought to do. We're cooperating with God in a work together. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I want to believe and hope that people who are my friends are closer to Jesus because I'm their friend. I know I'm closer to Jesus because of friends that God has brought into my life. I want to be willing to be a sharpening agent, to help somebody grow in their faith, grow in their ability to serve Jesus, grow in their appreciation for this gift of eternal life. And sometimes it gets a little hairy. But ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know that you are a friend? I think this is a timely message. I think in a world where things seem to be falling apart left and right, there's this riot, there's this contention, the world's in upheaval, it's just good to know I got some brothers and sisters and some people that aren't yet Christians who are friends. Dear Lord, I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ that you will help us, Fellowship Community Church, to be a friendly group, to model the faith that was once for all given to the saints. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that as we go out into this community, we will be seen as friendly, genuinely loving, genuinely showing concern, genuinely being loyal and faithful, and yes, spurring others on toward love and good deeds. Lord, help us to be people like that. Help us to be light in the darkness of this world. Help us to be salt that makes the community better. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.